Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. Today, we are going to have a returning guest. I'll tell you about her in just a moment, but you stay right where you are because this program is available to you live, if you will, or I should say streaming. It's not live. It's streaming at 7 a.m., 7 p.m. on Sundays and 1 a.m. Monday mornings. And you can go to richarddugan.com, locate the player, if you will, up in the upper right-hand corner of the website. You just see the guy in the hat, click on him, and away you go to listen at those times. Or you can go to the podcasts, which are on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and a lot of other places. Blueberry is another one, and Player FM. We encourage you to go there and listen to the entire interview. Sometimes we go more than the 50 minutes, but I encourage you to go there and listen. When you're there and you're looking at the player, click on that little grocery cart. It'll take you right to our guest's website, which we're going to give you in just a few moments, so that you can continue your evolutionary process and you can go through and find out what they are doing and how you can either get involved or you can basically go through the process of maybe picking up a copy of their book and have a lot of fun with it from that standpoint. So anyway, we encourage you to do that, and we encourage you to find out more about them. And also, if you're listening to this for the first time and you'd like to know more about what we are doing, then you can go to our missions page and read what we're doing there. And if it resonates with you, if you like it and you'd like to support us, you know, we'd be very grateful for any financial support you can give us. We do have a PayPal account and a Patreon account, and any amount is certainly welcome. And I'm thankful for those who have contributed and those who will contribute. And again, a trifecta of thank yous. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Goes out to all those who have and will support this broadcast to keep us moving forward, to make those changes in our lives. That's where it has to start, with each one of us. And then, in turn, we will change the world. And from my standpoint, for the better, moving forward so that everybody has the opportunity to find and live out their life's purpose. I don't think that struggling and strifing and just surviving is each one of our life's purposes. I can't believe that that's why we're here. I was born and raised Catholic, and I know all about the suffering part. And I know, too, what little I know about Judaism, that there is a certain element of suffering and guilt there, too. But I don't think that's what we were created for. I think we were created to thrive. And we're going to find out about thriving. Let me tell you, we're going to find out more about thriving with our guest, special guest. She's returning to the program, and her name is Dee Delaney, all the way from... Are you in India today?
I'm in India. I'm in Goa. I'm in a little village, a fisherman's village in South Goa in monsoon. We're catching the tail end of the monsoon in India. So it's hot and sticky and stormy, but beautiful.
I'm curious. So welcome. Do you have air conditioning?
Well, we try. Do you know, we try not to use it. The houses were built from the local stone, actually, that in theory kind of allows the moisture to come out and the air to flow through. They had a way of building the buildings that didn't require AC for our modern taste. But I must confess that I'm a bit like what you might call a middle-class hippie, and I live in a modern apartment building with AC. So.
Well, I certainly can appreciate I can appreciate not using it because it does take a lot of energy. That's true, but it certainly is nice. And we here, yeah, even in Southern California, more and more houses and businesses are installing AC because, sadly, things are warming up. July of 2019, they say, was the hottest July on record on the planet. Mm. So, you know, we better come up with Tesla's free energy supply pretty darn soon. That's what we really need.
Do you know, with regard to that, that's so interesting that you say that. And that as a concept is there for us. But we as humanity need to be able to accept that it's free. And that's that in itself requires us to have great equality in who we are as people. It's a big subject because we need to then know that we are all equal and we all deserve the same things and there's no ownership. And it kind of feeds into probably where we're going to go for this conversation about,
I would say so, yes.
You know, these patriarchal systems that are working their way out, I think, you know.
Well, it's interesting because part of what this program's all about is giving people choices and knowledge of those choices.
Yeah.
But unless you know you have them, how are you going to choose them? And I find that it's fascinating that our society, whether it be America or the UK or Europe or Africa, Asia, whatever the country is, when you have people who are in control and in power, who aren't really spiritually centered. They're not centered within themselves to begin with and following their intuition and so forth. And they're more interested in keeping people down, i.e. preventing them from getting the kind of education that would open up those doors of creativity to create choices that they never thought of before, to take not only themselves but the rest of us down a totally different path. I mean, I'm saddened every time I hear about, regardless of the method of death, I'm saddened every time I hear about people who are dying, whether it's in the military, mass shootings, plane crashes, train wrecks, car crashes, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking, oh my God, lost potential. What could they have contributed to our society if they were with us here today? And of course, I do know, and we'll talk about this too. Yes, we can connect with them through the veil, you know, and get that information as well. But part of what we're trying to establish is community. And the community that is in existence here now. Let's talk a little bit about our potential as human beings, having spiritual beings, of course, as many people say, having a human experience, but human beings who need that connection, that community, and literally, this is what I'm hearing more and more, that physical contact, which every time you turn on the news, you hear more examples of divisiveness, of division and subdivision of our societies, to where we don't even want to cross we will cross the street to stay away from someone who has differing views, whether it be economic, political, religious, etc. And yet we need that contact, that physical contact, as part of building community, because that's how we're designed, I think.
I think there's two things. There's an energetic contact, which then manifests in the physical. We come here and we kind of meet our tribe on the basis of what community we were born into. So I was born into an Irish Roman Catholic community. So my collective contact, my collective concept of life was formed from the collective consciousness of what it means to be an Irish Roman Catholic and all that sits with that. The good, well, let's not say the good, but I guess some of the more negative aspects and some of the more positive aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a choice. Once we know, so for example, when we identify that as a human in this world, I have a choice. Do I want to be associated with the morphic energy field that connects me with people who have addictions or people who are from dogmatic religions or people who have beliefs that are not based at the heart and in love? Do I want to be associated with that? No. So I disconnect myself. And it's something we can do physically in the now to say, this is not where I want to be. And what happens is when we do that inner work, the world around us changes. The people who surrounded us with those dogmas and those beliefs kind of miraculously disappear. And suddenly the people that we want in our life, who are high vibrational, who want peace, who want love, come in. And it's a profound shift that happens when we awaken to who we are and how this world functions.
Dee has a trilogy that is available at her website, and that website is deedelaney.co.uk. It's called The Truth Within, and I encourage you to go to her website and to investigate these particular books. I'm looking, of course, at that specific page right now, The Truth Within, a trilogy, and I'm looking at the images in front of each of the books. Now, the location of these images, and it appears that they are photographs, reminds me of I almost want to say a causeway at Newgrange. I've been there once. There is a passageway. It's not actually a tunnel because it is open air, but it has the structure goes up and over. I don't know if it's a bridge, and this looks an awful lot like that space. Can you tell me where these photographs were taken?
Yeah. So the photographs were taken in November 2016 when I moved to Goa, India, where I live. And it's on a bridge, and the bridge is a covered, as you rightly said, it's a covered structure. It's called the Sudarshan Bridge, and it's in South Goa. And it's like a suspension bridge, but there is this kind of cage over the top. Mm-hmm. And those pictures, they are photographs, and they have not been photoshopped. So what you are seeing is actually me transitioning, walking to the other side. It's a bridge between worlds, and it's a metaphor for who I am, the work I do, and it's a metaphor for us understanding that we are a spirit and soul. We are spirit in a, you know, heavenly beings in an earthly body. And so this was taken 2016, and when we did the photo shoot, I worked with a photographer from New York who lives in Goa, where I live, and I was told about 5 years in a reading, about 5 years before these pictures being taken, that one day I would really see who I am. And I never, you know, in terms of my heavenly being inside my body and the gifts that I have that I can share with the world. And I kind of, And when the photographer, who's called Corey Goldberg, he took the photograph, he took hundreds. Only one photograph he turned into black and white, and it was the image that is used for my second book, The Truth is the Art of Being. And it's an image of me, and you can see these angelic wings coming out from my back and this golden halo, and you can see this auric field around me and spirit. You can clearly see it when you look clearly. And when I looked at that photograph, I said, turn it back to color. And it stopped me in my tracks and said, oh my god, can you see what I can see? And he said, yes, Dee, I can see it. And I did say to him, I said, I'm telling you now, one day those photographs are going to be known in the world. And little did I know that they would be the covers of my book. Well, it's beautiful to see, and I'm really proud of them.
Well, first of all, they're beautiful pictures. I love the symmetry in particular of the bridge structure itself with the with the cover, with the cage, as you call it. You're a beautiful woman in and of yourself in these photographs as well, but it's a beautiful etheric aspect that is given to these photographs that I think can inspire thought on the part of the individual looking at these photographs. Which, of course, in the case of what we're talking about today, they on your website, of course, they introduce you as you scroll down to each of the books, the parts of this trilogy, The Truth, My Journey to the Other Side, as well as The Truth is the Art of Being. And then part three, or book three, I should say, The Truth Within the Heart of Love. And you've had quite an extraordinary life, even in your own right, that has opened up some incredible channels for you to be able to share with people. You have many different titles, I suppose, that you go by. You're a mother, you're a writer, you're a yogi, which I would love to talk about a little bit. Lover of coffee. That was one of the things that I had to chuckle at, because I did stop by the Starbucks on my way in, as I do almost every morning. I'm not a big coffee drinker, but I have my own recipe for chai latte. And so I go there, and I it was funny because they've changed the way that they make things, the same ingredients, but it used to be where they would pump from a container. And the standard recipe is, I think it's three pumps of the chai tea. Well, I thought, you know what? I want to make mine unique, plus the fact that I like the taste of the chai. So I'm going to increase that to five. So that every time that I see them at the chai container pumping five times, that's mine. And that's the only reason that I did that. But I go there and I pick it up and so forth and so on. And so I chuckled when you put that little note there. Continuing on about you working, you worked at the BBC for 14 years. The connection that I have with the BBC is twofold. Number one, the station that I work for used to carry BBC World News and many of their programs back in from 2006 or 7 to about 2013 or 14, I believe. Then the second one was when I was reading a trade magazine about sound editing software. I flipped through and I saw a photograph of a screenshot of the software that I use, and I read the article. And I'm thinking, well, heck, if it's good enough for the BBC, it's good enough for me, because that was the software that they used. And they're an international organization, so I thought that was great. But then you gave all that up to live in India, which is now where you are full-time. And what was it that called you, not who was it, but what was it that called you to India?
So, India, Mother India. So, the story of bringing me to India was that I lost three partners, all young men in their 40s. The first partner was the father of my daughter. He died of a suicide. A year later, I lost my husband, who I was married to. And then my father died, and then a third partner died. So I was consumed with death and grief, and I was in a really dark place about understanding about, oh my God, what is life about? All these challenges were being thrown at me. And nearly 4 years ago, I gave up the job at the BBC, and I trained as a yoga teacher, and I started what I would call my spiritual seeking, trying to make sense of life and death and everything in between. And nothing worked. Nothing kind of soothed my pain. And when I came to India, it was like Mother India was calling me home and willing me to heal. There was a very much a nurturing, healing, beautiful energy in the soil in India. We came with friends on holiday, and when I left, he'd come and move to India. So I gave up my lovely charmed life in the West, and I moved to the East with my little boy. It was probably only about 7 or 8 at the time. Left all my friends, all my support system, and moved as a complete stranger to this lost place to heal. It was very much driven by this divine voice that says you need to go to India to heal and to find love. And the love I was searching for was the love of the divine. It was my own. It was to connect me to my own divine nature and to really understand and embody that. So that's how India called me in. It was very much from a place of self-love and healing, which is what I talk about in my journey in the first book.
We all get called to different places. My biggest calling was to the ocean. Now, it could have been anywhere. It could have been anywhere. And I had never even anticipated. I figured maybe California, could have been Oregon or Washington. But I just went with it. And the next thing I know, 2006, my present wife and I end up moving to her hometown of Santa Barbara, where we've been now for 13 and a half years. And it's just been, honestly, it's been extraordinary. So when you finally made not just the decision, but you finally made the move to India, what were some of the experiences and even you might say the transformations that took place within you that not only confirmed, yep, this is where I'm supposed to be, but also that transformed you, that healed you?
Yeah, you know, thank you for saying that about your move to the water, because we are sent, so in life, we are made of water, earth, air, and what am I missing? Fire, the elements. When some part of these are out of balance within our bodies, we are out of balance. So coming to India, I'm an air sign and I am very much evolved in my higher chakras. But I needed to ground. I needed to connect with earth. And India, the roads aren't paved in concrete here. We walk on the earth. We walk barefoot on the earth and in the sand, just as you needed to go to the water to bring you back into balance. So that's the first thing. Our bodies are elemental beings, and to be in balance, all the elements within our physical body need to come into alignment. Then my soul was hurt. She was broken. And when I started to walk on the sand in Mother India, I could feel my inner ears, my senses, my clairaudient senses open, and I started to hear the voice of my higher presence. So as you, if your readers go on my website and they look at my books, they start very ethereal, as you say quite rightly, this spirit, this angel with feathers coming out of her heart chakra and then becoming an earthbound angel. And then she becomes a woman. The last picture is me actually turning around and saying, I'm here. And our role when we come down from the heavenly planes is to embody our angelic, our divine nature into our bodies. And that's why I came to India. I started to embody my goddess, my I am presence, my higher self. And I started to live as her, not detached from her. And I think that's everyone's challenge in life, is to know their own divinity, to know that they have the creator within, and then to share whatever your unique gift is on earth with the rest of humanity. And that's what happened to me. I started to see myself as not wounded, not broken, not a widow, not a single mum. I started to see myself as a divine, beautiful woman who had an ocean of love to share.
Mm-hmm. I want to share a poem that it's actually the lyrics to a song, but my personal observation is that most songs are poems. There's poetry in them. Yeah. And it speaks to what you're talking about when you talk about walking in India and in Goa and in whatever cities you might be in. And basically, this is the poem. O barefoot boy, once he came unto a land of forests and of streams that tumbled through the meadows to the sea. He called it home, for many were its wonders, and he learned to live upon the land, taking only what he needed. Barefoot boy, he don't like your concrete. He seeks the country any way he can. Barefoot boy, he fades down your street. Yes, I know he'll never come this way again. And time passes on in this life of always changing. People coming, building cities, cut your forests, pave your highways. Oh, barefoot boy, he wraps his blanket round his shoulders, and he says, I don't like your concrete. He seeks the country any way he can. I've heard it said that when you have the opportunity to, and I do this, even with shoes on, although it would be so much nicer in bare feet, because I remember as a child growing up in our neighborhood, there were hardly any fences around any yards, and the yards stretched together, and they were all grass covered, and you could run from one yard to the next in the grass, and it felt so good. But here in Santa Barbara, where there is, of course, there is a lot of ground open still, when I go through, walk through one of the parks, at the very least, I will walk, even with shoes on, I want to walk in the grass. Mm-hmm. I want to walk on that, not just because it's soft, but what you were speaking to about being connected in that way to Mother Earth.
Richard, don't you think, just to pause that thought for a moment, you know, and you and I were talking before this interview, and we've had many. Wow. Don't you think it's remarkable that I was talking about being barefoot in India, and that's what healed me? And you, of all the millions of poems in the world, you've picked a poem that talks about that precise thing. Don't you think that's remarkable? I'm stunned by listening to the poem you've read and the words I used and the connection.
I will tell you that and the author, I believe it was Harry Chapin who wrote that and sang it. It was it's a beautiful tune. People can go to YouTube and pull it up there. One of my favorite artists who died way too early. Much of the music, many of the songs of his are as relevant, if not more relevant today than they were in the day in which he wrote them and sang them. And it's one of those dichotomies for me where I am trying to stay away from certain phrases that I'm hearing pretty regularly from other programs, other newscasts, and so forth. First of all, the term uncertain times. As soon as you can show me when we ever lived in certain times, I will put that back into my vocabulary. There's no such thing as certain times.
No.
The times are what they are.
Yeah, that's true. It's where we're at, if I can speak to that for a moment, mm-hmm. where we're at in terms of humanity and Mother Earth and the evolution of our consciousness is at a time of shift and change. And by the sheer nature of change, something needs to go for something new to come in. And often that feels uncomfortable. You're absolutely right, mm-hmm. because there is absolutely no known. The beauty of life is in the known and the unknown. It's that's we're here on earth to experience both. We have a deep knowing, but actually really we don't know. It's the pendulum, isn't it, that swings, and you get comfortable with something and then it changes. It's this ever-changing evolution of what it means to be human.
Yeah.
And it's a real gift to be here right now as we're going through these enormous planetary changes. But it doesn't always feel comfortable, because It asks you to look at yourself, and many people have not been prepared to look at themselves in an individual way and in the big scheme of things. And what happens is this connection to Mother Earth forces us to come down to the ground and look at ourselves. Mm. And our beautiful earth is a reflection of really our energetic imprint about how we're feeling on the inside. And if she's wounded, and if she's polluted, and if she's toxic, and if she says, well, okay, see it, and let's all make changes in ourselves and in the earth to make that not be like that, to raise that, to raise our game collectively and individually.
Yeah, it's it is also, I want to say, sort of paradoxical. We have been trained, we have been taught, and we have been programmed to believe that change is evil, it's bad, it's wrong, we don't want it, we hate it. But you know, I've basically come to the conclusion, and I say this with this analogy, a true story. When I was 7 years old, I was sitting in Mass. I think it might have even been a summer day, and because it was seemed like it was a little warm, and I was sitting there, and I was trying to blink really fast. I wanted to have two identical blinks. Just if I could blink just really fast, then they would be the same. Okay, and I tried doing this for 5-10 minutes, I suppose, and then it dawned on me. I realized, wait a minute, that's not possible. It's absolutely impossible for me to blink that fast to where it would be identical, because I began to realize that both on the macro and micro levels of the universe, everything is in motion. So it's not possible for me to do that. I can't repeat something and it's going to be exactly the same. And so I started telling people that, you know, that phrase, you know, that there's only one constant in the universe. And I realized that it is going to frustrate the bejeebers out of just about everybody because they hate this constant. And yet what we need to do is we need to embrace this constant, which is change. Everything is changing every instant of every moment of every hour of every day. And we are changing. I mean, that's what this program is about, to help ourselves and others to transform their lives. Mm-hmm. And that word, transform, I was told by someone not long ago, because I was using the word change instead. Mm-hmm. They said, you might want to, and they kind of chuckled, you might want to change that word, because to change something, you can change it back. But transforming something, not so much.
Nice, yeah.
And so I thought, yeah, I like that. I like that. I want to transform.
I think the one thing to be mindful, though, is that right now on Earth, I think, and since 2012, and I'd be interested to get your sense of this, the pace of transformation has been like nothing that I don't think that most of us have experienced in our lifetimes. There's been so what happened in 2012 was a new epoch of what's called the time of the sixth sun, the Mayan calendar, kind of the prophecy said that it was going to be the end of the world and the Mayan calendar was finishing. But what actually it means is was the coming in of a new sun and if you like, a new lunar energy, a different kind of energy that has basically woken up and shifted everything from these patriarchal systems. We've been living under 5,200 years of patriarchal systems, which came through the cosmos with this energy that was very masculine, if you like. And now this lunar, la luna, this moon energy. So before it was this solar energy, now it's the moon, and it has with it a very different feeling. And we're so used to being in systems that are control us and divide us and can pit one man against the other and keep us separated. And suddenly this whoosh, this new wave of energy has come through, and it's asking us to look at everything: society, politics, education, family, everything has been thrown up into question. That's my experience of where we are right now in the world. And I don't know how, I'd be interested to hear how you feel about that.
Well, I think that one of the biggest parts of all of this is that we do have to come to a place where it's like, for myself, I guess I'll put it in this context. We have to come to a place where our lives are much more important than anything else that's going on outside of us. And it's almost an element of ignoring, I don't want to say, well, maybe not ignoring, but acknowledging what's going on the outside of us. But it's, you know, you use the analogy, I think you didn't you use the analogy of the pendulum? I've often heard it said that the pendulum, using that analogy, what we want to try to do is we want to try to go from the base of the pendulum, where it's just swinging from one side to the other. We want to shinny up that shaft to the pivot. So all we're doing is just pivoting and observing and not being cast to and fro by what's going on. And I realize that that's hard to do. I get that. But the reality is, for example, and I brought this up many times since it's happened, my being involved in a non-injury car accident that totaled our vehicle and then allowed us to get into a truck that is going to allow us to then move to the next level of getting a travel trailer to be able to travel the country and maybe even doing these programs on the road, et cetera, et cetera. Well, someone said to me, you know, Richard, you didn't have to create a car accident to make to get your truck. And I thought about that for a while, and then I thought, well, think about it this way, though. Maybe I did. First of all, I wasn't injured, and the other driver wasn't injured. As I said, a non-injury vehicle accident. And I don't know what doors it opened up for him, but who's to say? It's like that, what is that Chinese story about, you know, who's to say whether it's good or bad that the son broke his leg while farming and then the army came and they wouldn't take him. So, you know, he got to stay. And who's to say that that was good or bad? Or then something else happens of a calamity and that was bad. Well, who's to say that was good or bad?
Yeah.
I mean, who's to say that that wasn't the universe's way of saying, okay, this is what you want, and this is the process you're going to go through, and you're going to learn a lot, and you're going to be okay. Don't have to worry, and so forth.
Yeah. I think I absolutely agree with you that we are co-creating our reality. What I think has been happening is we've been living in a paradigm where we have all on the subconscious, and we've brought it now through to a conscious level, that we have lived with this belief that to some degrees we need to go to the darkness to come to the light. We need to suffer. Every religious doctrine, Buddhism, Christianity, Judaism, you know, Islam has said you have to suffer to find love. It's through the darkness, it's through the suffering, etc. I absolutely fundamentally believe that that's been the imprint that we have all absorbed, and we have been living our lives for thousands of years. However, and there's nothing wrong with that, because as you say, there's been immense learning. We have learned as humanity and individually an immense amount of love and wisdom through that. However, we are moving to a point in our evolution where we are realizing that, hey, I don't need to actually suffer to feel love and joy. Hey, I was actually born with this as my divine right. And actually, this is no longer part of who I am and how I want to experience my reality. So there is no right and wrong in any of those scenarios. they all have incredible richness, but I collectively, those of us who are on this curve of kind of trailblazers are moving to a place where we're saying, no, I'm kind of done with that story. I'm no longer going to accept this notion of suffering as a way of evolvement. And I'm gonna walk down the other road that says, you know, we will experience difficulties, but we won't suffer in the name of love for those difficulties. It's a fundamental difference. And that is where I believe we're headed and where some of us are at.
Yeah. Dee Delaney is my guest. DeeDelaney.co.uk is the website. We encourage you to go there, and we'll talk more about the truth within as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We'll be right back.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices, and those choices are coming today from Dee Delaney, and she is my guest here on the program, all the way from India, and I guess I can say hot and sweaty India today, especially in the tail end of the monsoons. I remember the monsoons in Arizona, and yes, it definitely epitomizes that one song from the 60s talks about the dirt on your neck is dirty and gritty and all that stuff. But we're nice and cool here and enjoying the conversation dealing with the truth. And the truth is a difficult one for some folks to define. All I know is that my truth is mine and yours is yours, and I'm not going to sit here and debate you about whether yours is right or wrong. If you are in that process of transformation, as we will start using that word more on more often, and it's working for you, I say more power to you. If you're having out-of-body experiences, if you're seeing other entities or these beautiful orbs. Matter of fact, you've got some photographs on your website in your art section that show these incredible orbs. They're very cool. I've also seen the little white ones in other photographs from other people as well. But if these are some of the experiences you're having, or, you know, I don't want to be flippant too flippant here, but if you're changing water into wine, okay? And if you're healing the sick, more power to you. But I love that passage from the New Testament where Jesus is queried by his disciples as he's performing these miracles, and they're just like, "Wow, this is pretty darn cool! Hey, could you teach us how to do that stuff?" He's sure, but you think this is great? These miracles? Oh, come on, this is easy. You're going to do even greater works, and I honestly do believe that the greater work is the transformation of self.
Yeah. Can I just talk to that? Because
yes.
Actually my third book is about the authentic teachings of Yeshua, as he was called in the time, and Mary Magdalena. And actually, Jesus spent a lot of his time in India, because what in India, it's not uncommon for people to be able to do these things in terms of these miracles that were seen as in when he went back to Nazareth and the West, if you like. But in India, these esoteric practices have been used by the rishis and the sages and the gurus and the seekers for thousands of years. And Jesus, like many of us, come to India or came to India to learn these practices. And we learn them through meditation and through yoga and through mystical arts and many other practices. The story that is now revealing itself of Jesus is not the story that's attached to the Bible. It's the story that is attached to Jesus's humanity, because his essential message was that I have come down to earth in this physical body to show you what love is and to show you that God is within you. That's it. He was like you and me and everyone else. He was a very beautiful, evolved, refined soul, but he was a man and a human being. It's that simple. And I think once we start to realize that, it helps us all understand that we are too like that, and therefore we have these gifts. As you just said, he said in these passages that there will be others that come after me who are have more of these gifts. Well, of course, because we all have these gifts, we all have them within us, but most of us have been conditioned to think that we're not worthy to access this divine nature that sits in our heart.
And a lot of us are told by whoever, authority figures, that not only are you not entitled to those gifts, okay, but those gifts that you are claiming, there's nothing in the ancient wisdom teachings that says that you can do that. I interviewed an evangelical Christian who shared with me over the course of a couple of interviews that he intentionally, after having these experiences, he found out how he could do it, intentionally had out-of-body experiences on a regular basis. And it wasn't a situation where he was trying to leave his body and not come back. That wasn't it. There was something about the experience that just was so intriguing to him that he enjoyed it. He learned a lot from them. But I haven't, and I even challenged him on this. I says, well, you do realize that as far as I know, there's nothing in the Bible, unless you found something that is not that I have missed. There's nothing in the Bible that says you can do that. He says, you're right. There isn't. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, then you've got to stop doing it because whatever you're doing, it's not in the book, so you can't be doing that. That's got to be something else. It's got to be hallucinations. Who am I to take that man's experience away from him that is serving him, that is helping him?
Yeah, there's two things in that. So the Bible was written, as we know, long after the first accounts were recorded, about 30 or 40 years after Jesus's passing, if you like, or Lord Sananda, as I call him, in connecting with him in a mystical sense, he has nothing to do with Christianity. The Bible was edited at least about 1,000 times. The words that we associate as being the words of Yeshua are not the words. And I think that's pretty common sense. But the point is that wisdom came at a time to force people to change. Actually, what was Jesus's offering in life, or his contract, if you like? Jesus died on a cross to forgive our sins. No, Jesus died on a cross and reappeared many times in the light to carve a light through the death realm so that people were not terrified of dying. Because at the time, people didn't think that there was an afterlife. People didn't understand that they were really and truly spirit incarnated in a body, and that they, when they died, that there was something more. So it gave people hope. And that whole story of Christianity lifted people up to where we are now. But now we know that kind of doesn't really fit with where we are evolved as people. So now we need a new story to come through. Now we're kind of unraveling it and saying that was the truth for the time, but actually for now, what do we need from this? It's evolving. You know, our willingness to change has to be willing to change and willing to unpick all our belief systems. And that's quite a challenge if they're rooted in strong dogma that tells you, you know, if you believe in this stuff, you're going to go to hell, you know?
Yeah, I always found that interesting. And there are two elements to all of this in terms of a new story. The logical part of me steps in and says, yeah, we definitely need a new story. And here's two reasons why. Number one, first of all, Christian was a derogatory term that was created to label these followers of the Christ. And it was profane, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The other part two is that if I was going to be a genuine follower of the Christ, I'd be a Jew. He was a Jew.
Yes, of course you would be. He's Jewish. Yeah, of course he was.
He didn't ask his people to convert from Judaism.
No, he was also married, because to be a rabbi, which he was, you had to be, at the time, you had to qualify to be a rabbi. And there are four accounts in the Bible that he's addressed as rabbi. You had to have been married.
Yeah.
So the fact is, many, many people like myself, my third book is Going in Search and the Truth Between. I represent the voice of the divine feminine, my lineage, how I'm connected in my past life and in my current life is very much to do with the female story of the Christ consciousness and Magdalena, the daughter of Jesus and Magdalena. This is the perspective that I'm bringing to the world in terms of my wisdom that's coming through me. And what happened is that side of the story was not shared, and for many, many, many reasons. And I think as we evolve as souls, we will understand, okay, I understand that now. I understand why we've had to go through that as humanity as a whole, to have another layer of understanding about what we are, what life really is, and how we evolve. And then we evolve to the next stage. So it's super fascinating, you know, and it might have taken us 2,000 however many years to kind of catch on to the fact that, okay, actually he was married and that's not sinful. That's okay. And okay, yeah, he had kids. Okay, yeah, that's totally normal, because that would have been normal. La, 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 la.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a challenging one. And you know what? It's okay for those who are not in a place of being able to accept that. That's okay. To me, that's also absolutely fine, because actually we all are equal and we all play a part in this beautiful story that we call life. And those who don't buy into this concept have a true, there's no right and wrong in this either. You know, there are many, 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 many versions of the truth, because we are all aspects of the creation, and we were, therefore we are all divine, and therefore we are all valid in this great stage, and we're all actors on the great stage. It was Shakespeare, that was his analogy, as you know, we are all actors in the play of life, or you know, and it's so true, and we all have a part to play, and it's so important that we know that from a really deep place.
Not, you know,
even
know
the people
that
we think are the villains.
Yeah. Not only but play our part. Play our part. We need to play our part.
Yeah. We need to play our part. I think we do need to play our part. And I think often some of the people like me who have gone through many, many, many past lives and been persecuted for my spiritual essence and my spiritual wisdom, and I've gone through many horrific deaths and tortures because of who I am and that connection, we've been suppressed and nervous about talking about who we are and what we do, for valid reasons, because we've experienced great suffering. But now we're coming out of the shadow realms and we're going, it's okay, I understand that. I have a part to play and I'm protected and nothing's going to come to me and there is no harm, because now the world is ready to listen to my side of the story. That's how the pendulum has swung the other way.
Yeah. And that's one thing to keep in mind, too. Again, as I said before, change is inevitable. It's, as is stated, the old saying, constant in the universe. And so if we can but be patient which is the toughest part of it all, to be patient.
Yeah.
It will change. There is a guarantee that it will. How it will change, we don't know. And that's another aspect of it, too. Be careful what you ask for.
One of the core teachings that comes through Jesus's authentic teachings is very much your thoughts create your reality. Never ever forget that. Your thoughts create your reality, and that's so essential we understand that. You know, it's part of the reason why I don't listen to commercial news channels or radio stations. I don't follow news feeds. I have no, because what that does, it's the collective consciousness of these dire situations, it's all bad news, and that feeds my thoughts, that creates all the world's a really bad place and that la la. And so I disconnect from that. I choose not to participate in receiving that information. Doesn't mean I'm not compassionate. It doesn't mean I don't feel and have a sense of where we are, because actually I'm connected through my heart to how people are feeling. It's a very different way of being, but I will not play a part in that story because there is an agenda. And the more we feed into it, the more negativity that we will create. And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes.
Yeah. Now, I will add to that I don't like to follow the news. And when, for example, my wife, she does. She's got the feeds on her phone and everything, and I deleted all of them on mine. But when she says, "Did you hear about?" I'll usually say, "No, what happened?" And she'll share it with me. And it's not as much because of your explanation that I don't lock into those kinds of things, but it's because I already know of man's inhumanity to man that's been going on since man has been here. And at least for the time being, it continues. And I don't need to be reminded of it. I know that it's going on. But I also know, too, that if I keep filling my head with it, then just like you, then it's going to be the focal point. It's like when I got sucked into the political system in September of 2016, and I had to get out because not only was I feeding that energy into the tornado, but I also know, too, that if I stay in there too long, I'm going to injure myself physically, let alone maybe mentally, emotionally, and or spiritually. So I had to find a way to get out of that.
Yeah, you kind of go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You know, you find yourself going down the rabbit hole and you just get worse and worse and worse. Now, I'm not saying don't feel your emotions, feel sadness, feel anger, feel, you know, we've just had one of our dear friends has died here in quite a young girl, in a what seems to be quite a, you know, the death of a young person is always tragic, and we're grieving. And I've done nothing but cry the last 3 days, and I'm trying to lift myself. And the more and more and more I get caught in the story, I feel myself being pulled, and I have to constantly go, it's okay to honor and grieve, but there comes a point of time when you have to start seeing the bigger picture. And it comes with many layers in life, doesn't it? You know, it's what we need to do to really stay present. And as workers in the field of light, you know, this is how we've come to be of service to ourselves first and foremost, and to others, you know, is to lead by example.
Yeah.
And that's really important, is to embody what we know, because there is a beautiful wisdom that comes through you, which you know, and you lead by example by, you know, talking to other people and doing the work that you do. And by doing that, you are helping others. It's that simple.
Absolutely. Dee Delaney is my guest here on the program. DeeDelaney.co.uk is her website. We encourage you to go there and check out the trilogy that she has made available to you to learn about her philosophy, the things that she is about, the truth. My Journey to the Other Side is The Art of Being, and number 3 is Within the Heart of love. And of course, each one of those starts with the truth. And we encourage you to find out more and read these wonderful works of art and take a look at the works of art on our website as well. I'm wondering, as far as that's concerned, are any of these available for purchase in some fashion?
The artwork, yeah, that's really interesting. I'm thinking of that. That's kind of your future gazing. My ambition is to one day actually have an exhibition with the photographer Corey Goldberg and create some more and actually show that we are multidimensional beings and that we live on other, you know, there is more to us than we think. So yeah, watch this space. But I think what I'd like to do is share with you. So the three books are the story of my life, but they're also rich with these ancient wisdom teachings that's mm-hmm. come through me. And I've kind of summarized them in a poem. It's so beautiful that you shared a poem, and I'd like to kind of summarize the essence of these three books is what's called the 10 ways to live in divine union. And these are kind of like the sacred teachings that have come through Jesus and Mary Magdalena. So can I just read them? That, you know,
yes,
it's a short poem. Yeah. So, the 10 ways to live in divine union. Sit in silence and hear the sound of your soul. Listen to the one who is in control. Let your heart be your guide. The wisdom of the universe is inside. Be the best that you can be, for it's only in the moment that we truly see. I am outside looking in. Life is an illusion. There is no sin. You are a ripple in the universe, creating each moment for better or worse. Our purpose on earth is to love without remorse and to bring this wisdom back to source. Hidden behind the stories we tell is a magical love, and it's under your spell. The alchemy of suffering is not what it seems. It's an invitation to step into the heart and live your dreams. There is no right or wrong. Love is the essence in every song. And truth cannot be known. It is ever changing. And not ours to own.
Beautiful. And I tell you what, yeah. we will bring the program and wrap it at that, because I think that's a wonderful thing, a beautiful poem, and I certainly hope people will listen to the podcast and listen to that again and again and again and to take it in. I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program. This has been always a pleasure to talk with you. Dee Delaney is my guest here on the program, and thank you so much for giving us so much time here. And if you ever find yourself on this other side of the world, here in Santa Barbara, we'd love to continue the conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Richard. It's lovely to talk to you again. I feel we've both, when was the last time we talked? It's about maybe 6 months ago.
Six, eight months ago,
much
yeah.
So has changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for inviting me back on. Thank you to your listeners for tuning in. And I wish you peace and blessings. And let's stay connected.
Absolutely. Before we let you go, I have three final questions for you, but just letting our listeners know, you can go to ddelaney.co.uk, that's co.uk, and find out more about her and the trilogy, The Truth Within. And also, if you're listening to the podcast and you like what you're hearing, please support us if you can with any amount. That's greatly appreciated, and we'll take energetic support as well. And also, if you'd like to get a copy of my book, Choices, 5 Steps to Life, available through me. Send me an email with the word choices in the subject line, and then we will make arrangements to get you a PDF copy for, I think we're doing $9.99, something along those lines. So if you'd like to help us in that regard, that would be terrific. I think it would also be helpful. And also, just a reminder that we are here on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Monday mornings at 1 a.m., but of course, the podcasts are always available 24/7. Dee Delaney, final three questions for you as we wrap things up here. First one is, who is Dee Delaney?
No, she is an expression of love.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
To help people see their own divine nature.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
My life purpose is to share that message from a divine feminine voice that we are here to be love and to know that we are part of the great mystery and that God is within you, or the goddess or source or whatever you want to call it.
Dee Delaney, once again, thank you so much for joining us here on the program.
Thank you.
And we encourage you folks to continue listening. Tell me your story. This is New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.